his shoes, but I can cry out to him and say, Jesus, search my heart right now and empty me of me, Lord. Empty me of sin, Lord. All across the congregation, why don't we do that little examining of ourselves right now? Lord Jesus, I'm going to be taking the bread today and I'm going to be drinking the cup today, but I'm going to do it with a fresh revelation that you are holy and you are here and you are worthy. So search my heart, oh God, cleanse me. As I pull the mic away, would you cry out to God in your own words? Invite him to reign in you right now. Clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Search me, O God. Try me and know my way. See if there be any wicked way in me, O Lord. Cleanse me. Lead me to the way everlasting. Jesus, thank you for showing up at church today. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us feel what we feel right now. Thank you, Jesus. You are holy and you are here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Say in Jesus' name. I want to direct your attention to the book of Luke, and you can remain seated. There are a number of remarks I'd like to make about some folks that are here and even what's happening around the church, and we've heard already a little bit, but maybe towards the end of our time together I might touch on a few things like that. But I want to read this verse while we're in such a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere and God is reaching for us today. Luke 14, verse number 16, Jesus Christ is telling a story about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And look at verse 16. This is from the New King James Version. I'll read from the New King James throughout this message. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. I believe that the Lord is making an invitation today for every single person that is here to receive something great from him. And if you would like to receive anything from the Lord, I wonder if you would just raise your hands and just begin to thank him in advance for what he has for you. Thank him in advance. You may say, well, Lord, I can feel your spirit leading me somewhere in this service. I don't know exactly what you're doing, but I'd like to go with you somewhere, God. I'd like to receive what you have for me, Lord. I'd like to experience you in a supernatural way. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Now I wonder if you could do me just one more favor now and just praise him. Maybe just shout with your voice or clap with your hands, but cry out to him in worship. Cry out to him in praise. Because you know he's leading us somewhere in this moment. I love you, Jesus. Sunday here right now. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. There's a little bit of palm waving right now. A little bit of honoring our King right now. Hosanna, Hosanna. Name of the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. So I've been focusing on the kingdom of God. I believe there's an invitation today for each of us as it relates to the kingdom of God. But in this passage, I was so excited that when Jesus wanted to talk about the kingdom of God and invite everyone, he said that the kingdom of God is like a certain man inviting many to a great supper. And I gotta tell you, when I saw that Jesus compared his kingdom to a great supper, I just felt so excited about that. Looking around, I'm probably way more excited about that than many of you could ever possibly be. But I thought, isn't that amazing that he is comparing his kingdom to a great supper and he's inviting all of us? I looked up that word great in the original language. It took many weeks. I worked on it and studied, and in the original language, the word great means prime rib. I'm not sure. I'm still doing some research because I read from another commentator and the word great meant lobster. And then I was reading some more and The translation for great supper in this particular translation was arroz con bichuelas. I thought I want some of that. Then I was reading from one scholar, and he said the reason why the supper is so great is because we don't count carbs or calories at this supper. I thought, my goodness, that's the supper for me. And think about it. He's saying my kingdom is like that. No carbs, no calories, all you can eat. Don't mistake it for Golden Corral. It's a way better kingdom than that. No offense to anyone. But what's awesome about this is that God is inviting everyone to his kingdom, and that includes me and you. Amen. You are invited. And what I want us to look at, just for a few minutes, because the atmosphere is perfect for us to prepare for communion. If you look in Luke again, and he's describing this invitation, this is the part that ought to get your attention today. Luke 14 again, now verse 18. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. That's where I would be separated from the rest of the pack. Because up until this moment, there's been no talk of some sort of charge, maybe even leaving a tip. It just, come on, y'all, we got food, everybody's welcome, and you're going to make excuses? You just were not raised the way I was raised. How many of you know when there's free food around, that's not the time for you to be distracted? That's not the time for you to make excuses. That's the time for you to make a reservation. I'll be there. Don't you worry. What time? Well, it doesn't matter what time. I'll just be there. Because it's a great supper, and that's not the right time to make an excuse. But I just feel like the reason why that there were excuses to be made is because some of the people that were on the wish list or the invite list, they underestimated how great this supper was going to be. They underestimated the greatness, if you will, of the kingdom of God. So I was looking at some other examples of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You can use those terms interchangeably in this particular context. Look with me to Matthew 13. Now the Lord is telling another story about the kingdom. And he says in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, and he hid the treasure. He's looking around when he discovered the treasure. He said, oh my goodness, nobody else knows this is in the field. So I'm going to hide it. I'm going to go buy the field, and that treasure will be mine. That's what's happening there. So this man hides it, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom that you and I are invited to. That's why we need to be careful not to underestimate the value of the kingdom, not to underestimate what God is really inviting us to. In fact, in this context, can I just be very plain and say, when some people looked at that field, all they saw was the field. Isn't that interesting? That God is okay with not advertising on the front page all of the benefits and the blessings of the treasure of the kingdom. I think that's noteworthy. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament and you look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, from the outside, it was ugly. From the outside, it wasn't attractive. But when you entered in to the holy place, all of a sudden you saw the gold and you saw the beauty and you saw the furnishings. And then if you made it through into the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. But from the outside, you might not even take a
picture. You wouldn't even bother with a selfie because it doesn't look very attractive. It doesn't look like anything that anybody would want to see or take a photo of. But past the outside and past the surface, there is something beautiful and marvelous that you and I have been invited to. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of heaven. And if all you see is the field, you might leave early. If all you see is the field, you might head on down the road. If all you see is the field, you might make some excuses. But if you ever get a hold of the treasure, you're going to buy that field. No matter what it costs, you're going to say, I've got to have the treasure. I've got to have the kingdom. I've got to have Jesus. Oh, if you feel that way as you clap your hands, would you lift your voice and say, I'm going to buy me a field today. Praise God. I don't want to sound too heavy or too intense. I know it could border on that. I don't want anybody to be uncomfortable or to feel like they should hesitate. But don't just see the bread. Don't just see the cup. See the treasure. No, don't just file up here with everybody else in the building. Do what we always do around communion time, or just get ready for a great week of Easter celebrating and let it be just a meal and family and friends. And oh yeah, we got church. I urge you to realize in this field there is a treasure, and I've been invited to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so I want to make sure whatever it takes, I want to respond to the invitation. Look again at Matthew 13. The Lord is talking again about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and he tells another story. Aren't you glad these are short stories? I mean, we're on, if I've got my math right, this is going to be our third story. There can't be that many stories in this message. Oh, some of you are not so sure. Well, that's wise. I think there's only three. But I'm going to go back to the first one and review to make sure you were paying attention. But here's the third. Jesus is talking about the kingdom, and he says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, you think about that. You pretend for just a moment I'm that merchant. I've got a pocket full of lots of money. And you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for pearls. I'm not looking for just one pearl. I want a lot of pearls. I want beautiful pearls. I want to spend all kinds of money on this pearl, that pearl, the other pearl. Isn't that how we are? Amen. That's kind of like the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Isn't this world just really good at saying, boy, you got to have this. Boy, you really need that. Oh, look at this. Boy, you'd look good in that. Right? Oh, man, I want some of this and I want some of that. And all of a sudden the Lord says, I've got this one pearl. Well, it's pretty impressive, Lord, but I was going to try to get a bunch of pearls. No, but believe it or not, this one is actually more beautiful than all those other ones put together. I know, God, it really does look alluring to me, but I want a little bit of the world, and I want a little bit of sin, and I want a little bit of selfishness, and I want a little bit of what's in it for me, and I do want this pearl, God, but I want all these other pearls. And then the Lord says, well, my kingdom is such that if you're going to get this one pearl, you're going to have to forsake all those other pearls. And the Lord said, that's what his kingdom is like. It's like that merchant that says, you know, when I started shopping, I wanted some of this and I wanted some of that. But now when I see what God has for me, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I don't want the sin no more. I don't want the worldliness no more. I don't want the self-centeredness no more. I just want to be in the kingdom of God. I preach to you today that there is an invitation that is extended to everybody in this sanctuary. Sanctuary, come and be a part of the kingdom of God. Come and be a part of the kingdom of heaven. But you're going to have to be willing to buy the field. You're going to have to be willing, whatever the cost, to give it all, to say, I just want to be in the kingdom of God. And Lord, as I look at that one great pearl, I'll say no to my flesh and no to this world and no to my own dreams and no to my own plans. Why? Because I want the kingdom of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I think if we were to make it very practical, every day we have so much time. And I got some time for this pearl, time for that pearl, time for this pearl, time for that pearl. Any other time left, Lord, I'm going to make sure I focus on your kingdom. And the Lord says, you've got to put my kingdom first. It's not do everything that matters to me, and if there's any time left over, then what matters to God? No, I'm going to do what matters to God, and then he'll give me time for all the other things that matter, but I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We could be talking about our time. We could be talking about our money. We could be talking about any number of things, but the message is this. You are invited to the kingdom of God, and there will be temptations to make excuses. There will be temptations to be distracted. But I feel the Spirit of God pulling at somebody's soul and saying, this invitation is so priceless. This invitation is so wonderful that if you would just trust God, if you would just say, in fact, the scripture says that when we seek him first, all these other things are added to us. When we seek him first, when our desire is towards his kingdom, as I take care of what matters to God, he knows how to take care of what matters to me. That's the invitation.
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen.
It's an amazing thing that he expects a total commitment. He expects undistracted service. He expects unwavering commitment. He expects, and this one is pretty important, extravagant expectation. He expects us to live for him as though, oh man, I know the field ain't much to look at, but that treasure's so awesome. I just got an expectation. If I put God first, it's going to work out for my family. It's going to work out for my future. He expects that when I finally sell all I've got, when I pour all myself into the kingdom and all I've got is this one pearl, I'm going to look at it and say, wow, something's about to happen with this pearl. I don't know if a genie's going to pop out of the pearl or what, but something's going to, I hope that's not what it is, but something's going to happen with this pearl. You know why? Because God gave me an invitation. He said I could be a part of his kingdom. So I went and I sold everything. I gave all I had to putting God first. I did everything I could to seek the Lord and be a part of his kingdom. And now I'm living with an extravagant expectation that he's come to give me life and that more abundantly. And you know what? When I wake up tomorrow with Jesus, it's going to be a whole lot more awesome than living without Jesus. When I put God first, it's going to be a whole lot more wonderful than putting me first. Why? Because I've got an expectation. This pearl is awesome. This treasure is awesome. This supper is awesome. Oh, hallelujah. Talk talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's an open invitation. Everybody's welcome. But you could make excuses. If you invite me to your house for dinner, I'm going to tell you something, so be careful. Be careful. If you invite me, I'm going to come. I'm going to bring all my family. I'm not just talking about the ones that live in my house. I'm talking about the extended family. I promise you, I'm at least going to bring my mother-in-law. I'm not coming by myself. And when we come, we're fixing to throw down. Don't you be coming with just a couple of Happy Meals. I mean, I like Happy Meals, but you got to bring a bunch of them. I'm not trying to be, you know, aloof or uppity. You can bring a Happy Meal, but don't just bring one. It's not one for me and one for you. It's one for me and one for me. And I'll tell you this right now. When we're eating dinner, I'm going to be saying some nice things about dinner. But I got to be honest. I'm going to be thinking about, I wonder if they got some dessert up in here. Now, I'm not going to say anything because my wife will kick me under the table. But I guarantee you, if you invite me, I'm going to expect that, man, when we get there and we're sitting down, you're going to say, would you like some this and some of that? How about some more? Hey, we got some extra. Hey, there's a little bit left over. And then after all that, and I'm starting to feel a little bit of pain in my stomach, then I'm going to be like, surely there's some dessert. And I just think that we ought to approach the kingdom of God just like that. You know, he said it was a great supper. So we got to stop living for God like we're bored. We got to stop living for God like this is all you got. Nah, if you've got an expectation of more, you will never, ever run out of the blessing and the favor of God. But something in your soul's got to say, I've made my choice. I'm sticking with his kingdom. I'm answering the invitation. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because if you catch yourself making excuses about the kingdom of God, there's a good chance you have lowered your expectations. I remember growing up, man, I made a whole heap of excuses. My mom had some expectations, and man, it was hard. That belt was hard, I'll just tell you right now. I remember we had a car for about 5 minutes. She's going to let me drive it. I was already 28, still living at home, so I was glad she let me have a chance of driving the car. And sure enough, I kind of sideswiped a parked car. And I had to go in there with my best excuse. It's okay, Mom. We can still get in through the passenger side. That excuse didn't work with my mom. There was the belt again. I was 28, but she still had it. I remember when I was just a teenager, and she let me go hang out with some of the young people, especially the pretty ones. There was a few pretty boys, but a lot of pretty girls. And she said, you better be back at such and such a time. Young people... Such and such a time. I forget what time it was. It might have been like 8:30. She let me stay a little bit later. 8:30 in the evening. And I was late. And there, I was ready with my excuse. Mom, we were praying. I thought I wasn't lying because we were holding hands and making plans. So I thought. But she could tell. The gifts of the Spirit were operating right through her. And she got that belt out. She said, you put your hands in the air and you stay away from them girls. And so my excuse didn't work. And I'll never forget. This happened so many times, I'll never forget. But, you know, those 2 years I spent in the fifth grade, they were some tough times for our family. And I remember coming home with another math test that I had failed. And I said, Mom, I know you always want me to be positive. Well, I'm really sure I failed my history test, too. I just didn't get it back yet. I'm positive about it, Mom. Sister Tina, I know you're not going to like this, but I never forget when Mom came home and she was working all day, and we had a little kitty cat, and usually the kitty cat would come in and just kind of, you know, rub against Mom's leg a little bit. And kitty cat didn't come because while Mom was at work, I got bored. And I put the kitty cat in. I don't want the little ones to hear that. I only did it for 10 seconds. But you can't do it for even 10 seconds. So, but you know what? I love cats. They taste just like chicken. I'm just saying. See, we were just right in the presence of God for a good while there. Like from, it started right about 11. It was just all waves of the glory of God. In just a few moments, I just brought us all the way back down to earth. This way, when you get in your car, you won't feel like you're so far away. You're back in the real world now. The reason why I shared those lame excuses was because if you look in Luke chapter 14, they had some pretty lame excuses. I'm not going to embellish. I'm just going to read, picking up at verse 18 again. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first one said, I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Who in their right mind buys a piece of property without seeing it? You think that's going to fool the Lord? You might fool your mama with that one, but you're not going to fool the Lord with that one. They're just making an excuse. The next one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to go test them. I ask you to have me excused. So who buys 5 yoke of oxen without testing them ahead of time? That's just a dumb excuse. And then the last one. He said, let's skip that one. Because that right there is a really good excuse. Now, come on. That guy needs to get to go to the supper right there. There's no way you're going to kick him out of the supper with that excuse. Are you kidding me? That guy got a front row seat right there at the table. He got everything he wanted because he married a wife and he's useless. I hope somebody's hearing from God. So one person said, my excuse is my property. My excuse is my possessions, another one said. And then the last one said, well, people, that's my excuse. So what keeps us from the kingdom of God? Is it all the stuff we got? All the people we got? Because we're talking about the kingdom of God here. We're talking about an invitation here. And I feel like as we get ready for communion, that together we can make a commitment. If he is inviting me, if he is welcoming me, if Jesus is telling me, I have a place for you, I have an opportunity for you, I have a destiny for you, I am going to clear my schedule, I'm going to make sure that I give him my undivided attention, I'm going to make sure that it's not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I'm not going to let people get in the way of seeking the kingdom of God first, I'm not going to let my job or my possessions keep me from seeking the kingdom of God first. All I know is it's a treasure. All I know is it's a pearl of great price. All I know it's like a big supper. I don't want to miss it. Yes, yes, yes. As the musicians come. So here we are, remembering on Palm Sunday that great crowd of witnesses. Hosanna! Hosanna! And some of the crowd said, just be quiet. They underestimated the value of the kingdom. And it got worse. By the end of the week, as we'll reflect upon next Sunday, as he is fixing to die so that we might live. You know what some of them thought about the kingdom? Crucify him. They just underestimated the kingdom of God. And man, every one of them was invited. Every one of them was invited. And I just pray that during this week, I know we reflect on Jesus Christ daily. We should, and hopefully we do better. But during this week especially, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. This week, I'm not just going to look at the field and all the work I got to do to dig that treasure out of there. I'm just going to celebrate the treasure. I'm going to celebrate the Savior. I'm going to take out that pearl. I'm going to look at it. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for rising from the dead. I know it's a story I've heard a lot, Lord, but it's never going to grow old because it's a kingdom, Lord. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. You say in Jesus' name, if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ so that he can be your Savior, you're invited. You're invited. If you have never repented of your sins, you're invited. You're invited. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name by immersion, the old-fashioned Bible way, you are invited. We got the robes ready. We got the water ready. You just got to put your faith in him. If you have never been filled with his Spirit, you're invited.
Yes.
You're invited. And to all of you that are seeking to serve the Lord, make him king in every area of your life, I want to remind you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. You are invited. On your worst day, don't forget you're a part of a great kingdom. When nothing else is working out, don't forget this world is not my home. I've got a treasure. And finally, as we get ready for communion, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Would you close your eyes and would you just begin to thank the Lord for an invitation? Whatever you need, Calvary has purchased. Wherever you're at right now, whatever circumstance, you elders can come and help us right now and take your stations. Pastor Dan will help you to get where we need to be to receive communion. All across this sanctuary, even if you're a guest today, would you just close your eyes? And I'm going to pray a prayer. Lord Jesus, you have an invitation for every person in this room. No matter where we are in our relationship with you, you have an invitation. You have an invitation, Lord. For everyone in this room, you have an invitation, Lord. I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, however it is that you choose to speak to somebody right now, God, I pray that they would hear your voice and they would say, no excuses, I'm repenting today. No excuses, I'm getting baptized today. No excuses, I'm going to seek to be filled with your Spirit today. No excuses, I'm going to make you first in my life, Lord. No excuses, God. I'm going to a supper. I'm getting me some treasure. There's a pearl, Lord. And I will pay the cost of surrendering my life, giving you my all, because I want to be in your kingdom. Let's worship the Lord together right now. Stand with me. Thank you so much for
just lingering in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to give you some instructions, because no doubt there are some folks here that you may not be a part of our church family, or this may be your first time to receive communion with us. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would love for you to join us, to take the cup, to take the bread. You don't have to be a member of this church, but you do have to examine yourself as we did before. And what I mean by that, the Bible says we cannot eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily. That would be like damnation. So we have to make sure when we take this bread and take this cup, we're saying, Jesus, you died for me. I don't deserve anything that you have blessed me with, but I want you to know I'm taking this bread and taking this cup, thanking you, remembering you, because even though I'll never be worthy, you have made me worthy by your blood that was shed for me. If that's you, I don't care what you call yourself or what church you normally attend, we want you to participate in remembering the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, if you have never put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, you've never repented, never been baptized in Jesus' name, never been filled with the Spirit, this is not a substitute for that. Today is your day to respond to the invitation. Let God do something great in your life. You say amen. So they're going to sing a song. We're going to worship together. And you can see there's three stations here. And you just come to the station that's closest to you, whatever aisle you're more comfortable with. You'll take a bread. You'll take the cup. And you'll just gather in close and hold it in your hand, worship, sing, pray. And after everybody's come, we're all ready together. We'll take the bread, we'll drink the cup, and we'll celebrate the invitation that Jesus has made for us by virtue of his death on the cross, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, if there are smaller children, as long as you as a mom or dad or guardian, you have given them the clearance that you know they're aware of what's happening, please invite them to come. And there may be some that say, you know, I'm not ready to take that cup or take that bread. You'll find that if you'll just join us in prayer, it's a wonderful atmosphere. It is a powerful opportunity to receive from God. So if you're comfortable, just come when everybody else comes. You don't have to take the bread or take the cup, but just reach out to Jesus in a way that you're comfortable doing. Let's begin to come and let's get ready for communion. There's an invitation that's being made today. There's an invitation in this atmosphere. There's an opportunity in this atmosphere today.
And you are the whole.